بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Knowledge of Deen, knowledge of Quran, knowledge of the sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Has very high status in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Quran is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Quran is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said, Khayrul hadith kitabullah. The best word is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no book better than the Quran. And in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said, Al-Qur'anu ahabbu ila Allahi min as-samawati wal-ard. Qur'an is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the heavens and the earth. So these children, when they leave their home and when they come to the madrasa at 5 o'clock in the evening and they remain in the madrasa for 2.5 hours till 7:30, in some madaris for 2.5 hours, some madaris 2.25 hours, some madaris 2 hours, whatever the duration of time may be. When they leave their homes and come to the madrasa, they come primarily to learn the Quran. Learn the Quran. They learn how to read the Quran. They learn tajweed. Then they learn various masail. This is permissible, this is not permissible. This is forbidden, this is haram, this is lawful, this is halal. This is how you must behave when you are in a masjid. This is how you must behave when you are at home. This is how you need to behave when you go to the toilet. This is how you must behave when you sit to eat. So they learn how to read the Quran with the tajweed, and thereafter they read, they learn so many things. So many things. They learn the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They learn etiquettes, adab, manners. They learn so many beautiful du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We would only have appreciated the du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam if we had known the meanings of these du'as, and if we would have understood the meanings that lie within these du'as. The wisdom, the reason for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reciting a particular du'a in a particular instance. So these children, they take admission at the age of 5 and they may continue until the age of 12, 13, which is the norm. And after 12, 13, they should also continue. They should continue after 12, 13. They should continue in the madrasa until 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, for as long as they can. Because talabul ilm, this coming to the madrasa to learn the Quran, and everything else that they learn, everything else that is based either on Quran or the first commentary of the Quran, which is the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the basis of deen is the Quran. And the basis of deen is the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because that is the first commentary of the Quran. And this commentary, this explanation of the Quran, the ahadith, was not something that came from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's intellect. No. It came directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Quran is also wahi, revelation, and ahadith are also wahi, revelation. But there is some difference between the two, which is an academic issue. But these are the basis. Quran and the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تَرَكْتُ فِيكُمْ مَا إِن تَمَسَّكْتُمْ بِهِ لَن تَذِلُّ بَعْدِي أَبَدًا. I am leaving behind two things. If you hold fast to these two things, then you will never fail. You will never fail. You will always become successful in this world and the hereafter. What are these two things? Kitabullah wa sunnati. The book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the ahadith, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that I am leaving behind two things if you hold fast to, does that mean you get a copy of the Quran and just hold fast to the Quran? Does it mean that you pick up a book of hadith and hold fast to the book of hadith and you will become successful? No. You understand what it means. It means that you learn the Quran, you learn the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and hold fast to it means remember it forever and practice it forever. You have learned that performing five times salat is compulsory. Now do not forget this. Don't forget it. Five times salat is compulsory and hold fast to it. That means daily perform five times salat. This is holding fast to it. You have learned that it is sunnah to eat with the right hand. So now remember, and every time you eat anything. You eat your main meal of the day, lunch or supper, or you have breakfast in the morning, or you are with your friends and you are eating chocolate or crisps. You should not use the left hand, you should always use the right hand. Now if a person learns in the maktab that one should eat with the right hand, and he remembers also, but when he eats with the left hand, so he is not holding fast to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is let go of the sunnah. If a person does not practice what he learned, then he lets go. And if he lets go, he will become a failure. Sooner or later he will see the result and the consequences of this failure in this world and definitely in the hereafter. So Quran and Sunnah, and these dear children, when they are given books on authority, books on akhlaq, good manners, characters, books on the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, books on tajweed, whatever textbooks they are given, they are based on the Quran and the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these children, when they come to the madhab from the age of 4-5, and they continue until the age of 12-13, and as I said earlier, especially my very dear children, you must put this in your mind, that you will continue to learn even after the age of 12-13. You will continue to learn even after the age of 12-13. Why? Why? Because there is no end to learning. There is no end to learning. There was a very great Imam. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi was a very great Imam. Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi, another great Imam. Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, another great Imam. So Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi was also a very great Imam. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi. He was a muhaddith, the one who preserved the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who memorized thousands of ahadith, and he compiled a voluminous book, Musnad Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, 10-15 volume. So many ahadith. And he was a very great mufti, very great faqih. And very, very pious personality. Very pious. And all his life, he was not interested in the luxury of this world at all. This is what you need to try to become. A very great muhaddis. A very great mufassir. One who has control over the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One who has control over the commentary of the Quran. One who is explaining Quran to the people. One who is explaining ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the people. This should be your goal. There is nothing more sweet than this. There is nothing more enjoyable than this. Because when you are studying the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all the time you are thinking about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is how he used to sit, this is how he used to walk, this is how he used to eat, this is how he used to perform ruku. So Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, when he became very old, in his 60s, maybe even 70s, very old. So one day, he was going somewhere and he had his exercise book. Because all the time he was learning and teaching. Because ill is so much that you cannot learn everything up to the age of 12-13. There is no limit. You go to a garden room and you take admission for 6 years full time, you stay there 24 hours, and after 6 years you become a Maulana, you become an Alim, and you think to yourself that this is the end of it now. No. This is the beginning. Now is the time to learn more. Throughout the life of a person, we learn. He'll be so much in a very big ocean that he will never come to it. So in his 70s, a great Imam, great Mufti, everybody used to turn to him for answers, for solutions. So somebody said he had an exercise book, and in those days, they used to carry ink pots, because they used to put the pen in the ink pot and then write. So he had his ink pot, he had his pens, he had his papers, and he was going somewhere, so somebody saw him with everything. So somebody said, you are still learning. You are still going here and there to learn. Ila mata. Ila mata yamna hambal. Oh, Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Oh, Shaykh, for how long are you going to continue learning? You have become old now. So he said, mahar mishbarati ila makbarati. I will continue to learn until I go to the grave. Until I die, I will continue to learn. This is what you need to instill in your mind. At the age of 12, at the age of 13, finish? No. No, you continue. And after you leave at the age of 16, 17, 18, all courses for you are finished in the madrasa. Try to go to Darul Uloom and become an alim, become a mufti, become a qari. And once you finish, then you still continue studying, teaching. So what I was saying, my dear children and the parents who are here today, that these children who come to the madrasa at this young age, when they are 5 years old, they come to learn the Quran. And Quran is the word of Allah. Quran is the book of Allah. The status that the Quran should hold in the Muslim life or a Muslim heart and mind, Quran, Allahu Akbar. And whenever a child leaves for madrasa to learn the Quran, Allahu Akbar, where is this child going to learn the Quran? What is Quran? The book of Allah. The word of Allah. And this child spends 2.5 hours daily learning the Quran. And everything else that the child learns is also based on the Quran and the Ahadith. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Quran is more beloved to Allah than the seven heavens and the earth. Quran is more beloved to Allah than anything. So my dear children, when you leave home at 4:45 to come to the madrasa, you should not be feeling unhappy, you should be feeling very, very happy that you are going to learn something for 2.5 hours, which is very, very beloved to طلب العلم فهو في سبيل الله حتى يرجع. When we leave his home, to seek knowledge, to learn, whether he comes to the masjid to participate in the dars of the Quran, dars of the Hadith, with the intention of learning, or he goes to the madrasa, he goes to the company of an alim, I'm going there because I will hear something new and I will learn something new. He goes with this intention. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he is in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until he returns. That means, from the time he leaves home until he engages in the activity that is taking place in the masjid or madrasa, and he returns home, the malaika and the angels are writing down rewards for him, and he is going very fast towards the Jannah. What we need to do, my dear children, is to understand what we are doing. Don't think you are wasting your time. No. Don't think you are wasting your time. The 2.5 hours that you spend daily in the madrasa, these are the 2.5 hours that will go in the hereafter with you. These are the 2.5 hours that will go in the hereafter with you. And inshallah, in future you will become a ulama. You will become khutbah. You will become qari. You will become mufti. And when we will go in the grave, inshallah some of you will be sitting here and explaining the Quran and the Ahadith to the people who will be sitting in front of you the future generation. This should be your goal. Inside you should entertain these thoughts that I wish I could also become a very big mawlana. You should entertain these thoughts. I wish I could become a dynamic scholar, dynamic alim, who is able to call people towards Allah, who is able to call people towards Jannah, who is able to safeguard people from those things which take them to the fire of Jahannam, which bring the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what I want to do. If you entertain these thoughts, then when you want to become something like that, you will begin to ask Allah, oh Allah, make me a dynamic alim, oh Allah, make me a very big alim. When I was 7 years old, six to 7 years old, I was in India in my village, very small village. I was born in a very small village, very insignificant, very small village. And I grew up there at the age of 6, 7. I remember that my late father, he used to explain to me, he used to sit me down and he used to explain to me that the best thing that a person can achieve in this world is become an alim. He used to say, this is the highest progress that a person can achieve. Now, I didn't know what becoming an alim was, what becoming hafiz was, what becoming qari was. But in my childhood, this is what he used to explain. This is the highest thing that you can achieve, become an alim. So in my childhood, when my father had implanted this thinking in me that the highest thing that a person can acquire in life is to become an alim, then in my childhood I still remember when I used to pray to Allah, I used to say, oh Allah, if this is the greatest thing, then I want to become alim, make me an alim. Make me an alim. And one may say that my father may have deceived me at that time because I was very young and I didn't know anything else. So that's why he just planted this in my mind that becoming an alim is the best thing. Now I am 48 years old. 48 years old and I understand many more things now. Because I was 6, 7, so it's 41 and 42 years now after that incident. And I have come to the same conclusion that there is nothing better than becoming an alim. There is nothing better than becoming an alim and engaging yourself in learning and teaching the Quran and the Ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You become sick, you are feverish, you have flu, you have cold, you have a severe headache, you don't feel like doing anything. You don't feel like doing anything. the lesson will not take place. So instead of teaching for 1.5 hours, which is your period, at least go for 10 minutes and teach. Go for 10 minutes and teach. Teach for 10 minutes and come back. So the lesson takes place. Will you go to the class? Will you start? And in 5 minutes, in 7 minutes, you forget everything. It is so enjoyable that you will not even remember that I had only come here for 10 minutes. And you continue teaching until 1.5 hours is over and people have to remind you that the time is over. This is how enjoyable this work is. And I cannot thank my father enough for putting me on this path. Ill, Allahu Akbar. Ill, there is nothing sweeter than ill. There is nothing better than ill. Ill, the word of Allah, the word of His Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How can there be anything more better than ill? So my dear children, when you come to the madrasa, you should be happy. Okay? And shaitan and nafs, especially shaitan doesn't like it. If we do something which brings us near to Allah, so he takes so many thoughts. Oh, it's a very hot day today and it's very boring and I'm tired, and if there was no madrasa, I could have gone to the park for a while. And, you know, all these thoughts come in your mind. At that time, you should think to yourself that yes, playing in the park is very enjoyable and it's very good weather and everything, but playing in the park will not raise my status. I will play for 1 hour, 1 hour play, it's gone in the air. But if I go to the madrasa, that 1 hour will go in the air. And after I die, Allah will grant me ni'mat for that 1 hour. And I urge the parents also. If you encourage your child, if you work hard, if you strive, and if you make your child strive, you will not be able to do a better favor than this. You will not be able to do a better favor than this to make your child an alim. Alim who practices, alim who propagates. There is no greater pride for a father than this. Pride not only in this world, after death also, already a payment of death. And do not let this thought enter your minds and your hearts. That if I make my child an alim and if I put him on this path, he will have no future. Who says he will not have future? Who says he will not have future? First hand experience. We are the people who should be able to take decision on this. Because we are ulama. We are kuffar. We are ulama. This is we are following that path. We are living that life. There are so many of my friends who used to study with me in Mumbai school. Today when they meet me, and sometimes we get the opportunity to talk about life, maybe even for 2 minutes, 3 minutes, they say that despite having everything, when we see you, we look at you with an eye of envy, and we feel that we wish we were also with you in Darul when you went to Darul. You will not be able to do better favor to your child than this. If you make him an engineer, if you make him an architect, if you make him whatever you want to make, that will go with him up to the grave. If you make him an alim who practices, who propagates, then this will take him up to the grave, and this will go with him in the grave, and this will remain with him when he is resurrected on the day of Qiyamah, and this will go with him at the time of Hisab, this will go with him when he is over in the Pulsirat, and this will push him into the Jannah. And even in Jannah, Allah Ta'ala will grant his fingers. In Jannah, we don't need engineer. Why? Because Allah will construct everything. You don't need architects because nobody needs to plan. We will not be able to plan Jannah. Jannah is great thing. Nobody will become sick, so you don't need medical centers, you don't need hospitals, you don't need doctors, you don't need consultants. Nobody will become sick there. There will be no disputes, so lawyers, barristers are not needed in Jannah. All these things will remain here. The only miracle is the Quran and the Hadith. The ulama will remain ulama. The huffaz will remain huffaz. The muhaddisin will remain muhaddisin. Why? Because this is the word of Allah. Word of Allah has always been there. Word of Allah will always remain. And we learn from certain hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to establish the status of the ulama in the year after, will create a situation where the people will have to consult each other and come to this conclusion that we will have to consult the ulama. Without consulting the ulama, we will not be able to answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So people will have to turn to the ulama in general also. Let's go to the ulama. Let's go to, and even here, there are people for some reason who have hated for ulama. They have to refer to the ulama over and over again. They have to go. They have no choice. Because if they want to do something which pleases Allah, they have to take guidance from the ulama. Is this right or is this wrong? What am I to do in this situation? Great honor to the ulama. And especially when a child is sitting here and he is connecting the makhluk of Allah to the Khaliq. Imagine the enjoyment, the pride that you will feel when you will see your child sitting here connecting the makhluk to the Creator. And on the day of Qiyamah, when your child will be resurrected and he will have a very large following, all those people who were guided by him will be walking behind him towards Jannah. And people will misunderstand his position and they will ask each other that who is this person? Which Nabi is this? Because he will have a very large following. Which Nabi is this? So the people will say that, let us ask the Malaika. The Malaika will be asked, and the Malaika will say, no, this is not a Nabi. This is not a Nabi. This is an alim from the Ummah of your beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Throughout his life, his mission was learning and teaching. So today he is entering Jannah with all the people who had benefited from him. Thousands of people will be walking behind. So at that moment, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throw his parents in the fire of Jannah? No. Allah will also forgive the parents and grant them entry into Jannah. So give importance to madaris, give importance to makatib, part-time madaris, full-time madaris. If your children are attending madaris, encourage them, support them. Support them, encourage them. If they are able to become huffaz, ulama, then there is nothing better for you as parents or for the whole family or for the community. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard all the madaris that are actively working throughout the world. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant progress over progress to our Madrasa Islamia, which has completed 50 years of its service, mashallah. 50 years of its service. One of the oldest madaris in the UK, Madrasa Islamia. One of the oldest, it is the oldest madrasa in Leicester, but one of the oldest madaris of the UK. From the very first of you, if you start down in the very first of you, Makati, in the UK, then this, the Madrasa Islamia of Masjid al-Noor will be among that. It has completed 50 years. It's possible that it could be more than 50 years. So, we pray that we Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I am also a product of Madrasa Islamia. I am also a product of Madrasa Islamia. In my childhood days, this is where I studied, this is where I became Hafiz. So, these young children, we have something very important in common. I am also graduated of the same Madrasa. I become Hafiz in this Madrasa. I became Hafiz of the Quran in this Madrasa. And it is from here that I went to Darul Tariqah. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant progress and much progress to Madrasa Islamia. Amen. And may Allah say, guardian, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a safe haven for any child who takes admission. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make many, we can say that he is also an alim who had studied in Madrasa Islami during his childhood days. Shukr al-Rahman, alhamdulillah, al-Qur'an, Musa'allahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi